Everyone, and welcome to Artifacts. I'm your host, Marissa Dickens, and today's guest is lead singer of the band Posaga, Dana O'Connor.
Woo! Insert applause here.
Yes. Thanks so much for coming on Artifacts today. I'm super excited.
For sure.
So, Posaga is a seven-person band from Cleveland, Ohio. They currently have two EPs, and their newest EP, Circles, is coming out this month on July 27th.
That is correct. It's finally here. It's been too long.
How does it feel to have this upcoming release?
It feels really good. Probably early 2023, we actually broke up because we just weren't making any music. So we were broken up probably for like a month and a half, maybe 2 months. And during that time, I was out just watching the Cleveland music scene and seeing all the artists that were out there. And I'm like, damn, you know what? I kind of miss this. I really want to get back into it. So it's just like distance makes the heart grow fonder. And so once we got back together, it kind of kicked us in the ass. We're like, all right, let's start to actually write and make some new music because I'm bored. So it was, you know, it was a good thing that that happened. So it's really nice that there's actually almost a product of the misery that we kind of created at the beginning and we were able to get back together. So, I mean, the title, I think, perfectly encapsulates that, just circles coming back around to the same conclusions, the same pattern of behavior. It's like, oh, maybe we have changed, but in a different way, but we're also the same people, essentially.
So when and how did the band form?
Oh my God, too
give
long
a little
ago.
History.
We started in 2017, probably like October 2017. At the time, our previous bassist, he was a neighbor of mine. I grew up with him and his sister. So him and I have known each other for a long time. And I was coming out of a pretty serious relationship. And back in high school, music was kind of my therapy and something that I really miss doing. And when you get out of high school and you're into college or you're just figuring out your life, you kind of lose sight of the things that you used to really like to do. And at that time, I felt music was the only thing that was probably going to make me feel better, other than probably getting drunk every single night. So I kind of came to him and said, you know, I have some songs that I want to play, and I want to see if we can make a band. It's kind of been my dream. So he had some roommates who are also musicians, and that's kind of how the band formed originally. I would say now there's probably like two or three legacy members, me being one of them. So it's changed a lot over the years, but that happens when you've been a band for almost 7 years. You're going to have people be like, hey, I'm getting married, I gotta go, you know what I mean? So it's been great meeting new people who are coming in and out of Posaga and all the talent and all that. So yeah, that's kind of where we're at right now. We used to be a five-person band, now we're seven. We started writing songs with horns and we're like, uh-oh, I guess we're gonna need to do that live too. So we just brought on more people, essentially.
And I love the horn element, especially in this new EP. Like, it makes me wanna like walk out in my neighborhood and jam with
them. I think horns bring a lot of bounciness to the music.
Yes.
And you don't really hear that a lot, I think, in the Cleveland music scene here. I mean, obviously there are bands with horns, but probably not to the extent that we're doing it necessarily. Where are you based out of?
I'm actually from Toledo, but I just moved to Los Angeles.
Oh my God. Where in LA do you live?
I'm in Burbank.
Burbank? Okay. I actually was born and raised in California. So
oh my gosh.
Yeah,
what part of
I'm from Cypress area. So it's like a half hour from Long Beach down.
Wait,
south.
How did you end up in Cleveland?
Dude, oh my God. My dad is from Bainbridge. So his whole family grew up here. And I think we moved back to Ohio probably 2005, 2008 era. Obviously, the housing market crashed, and my parents were like, oh, we gotta go. So that was kind of the catalyst for how I ended up here. But I miss California all the time.
That's
It's a great
so
place
funny.
to be.
It's a different vibe, but I love it. It's definitely like relaxing me more a little bit. And
oh,
I
that's
love
good.
that the arts are really normalized here, any kind of art.
Sure.
So I'm here for dance,
Yeah.
But you know, the music scene, acting scene, everything's out here. So
are you a ballerina?
I did ballet late, but yeah, I could say, yeah, I used to teach a lot of ballet. Jazz is my vibe. Jazz fun.
Okay, gotcha. That's awesome.
Yeah. What were some of your early music influences for you growing up that you brought to the band? And then how would you describe the band's Holistic Sound now.
Sure. I will say before I start, everybody in the band comes from a completely different musical background, whether it's like the teaching aspect or just the taste aspect. But for me, when I was doing road trips with my parents from like the LA area to Oakland, because that's where my grandparents lived, we would listen to like Norah Jones and John Mayer and the Phantom of the Opera and James Taylor, like all the really old classical stuff. So that was kind of what I grew up on. I was not like a rock heavy person. A lot of my musical influences are like people like Billie Holiday, which is like that kind of more soulful, very simple, lyrical kind of music, which I just think it's so timeless because Billie Holiday is even 100-year-old music, you know? And I still think people listen to it, so people still really like it, people still really emulate it. And so I think I kind of brought in that simplicity lyrically into the band, as well as being like, hey, why don't we do something that's just like a little bit more smooth, a little bit more mellow? So just like going full rock. Obviously, there are rock influences in this band. Luke, our guitarist, he's like a blues guy. So you'll hear that a lot of the time. Our drummer, he comes from a jazz background. He was in a jazz band in high school, and he did the whole church thing when he was in college to get money. And so there's just so many different. It's hard to, you know, it's like the same thing. Like this question almost feels like the same thing of like, what is your genre? And for years we've never been able to pinpoint it because there's just such a weird amalgamation of everything that all of our influences in one, that it's just I think we start from a core basis of acoustic and then we kind of move in and build it along the way. And then, you know, if it sounds good, so that is what it is. So I think now we can kind of define our sound as like more of a pop rock. I wouldn't really say that we're indie, but we also have, you know, R&B influences or influences like Lake Street Dive or Amy Winehouse. So it's hard to really describe our sound. I usually just say, hey, listen to our music and get back to me and let me know what you think it sounds like. I hate defining it because I feel like there's a lot of loose ends when you do that.
Yeah, no, and especially since you said that you guys are all from different backgrounds musically and what you listen to and how they're playing, that it does create a unique sound. So, what's the story behind the name Post Saga?
Oh man, another great, brilliant question. I really wish I had a better story. There just isn't. It was pretty much the only name that we could agree on at the time. And went through, I think one of the first suggestions was like minivan, but that didn't really describe our music. Like that didn't make any sense. And then Post Malone was really big at that time. And I have a lot of nerds in my band who are like, what about like Post Sega, like the video console game? And I said, no, that's not gonna happen. That's really lame. So Post Saga is kind of the alternative to Sega. And now usually when people answer that question, if I'm not totally honest with them, I just say it's the after story. So all these lyrics is the stories of me essentially and my experience, and the music aspect is me telling it afterwards. So it's the story that's being told in past tense, essentially.
Let's talk about your lyrics then. Are you the sole lyric creator or is it more collaborative?
If I'm struggling to write a song, the guys will input kind of their own notion. There is a song called Girl Like You on our second EP, and my guitarist, he pretty much wrote like I think the chorus of that. So sometimes I'll get little snippets from the guys and I'll kind of build off of that, or they'll give me an idea and I'll build off of that. But other than that, I'm pretty much the only person who writes the lyrics in this band. It's worked that way for, you know, this amount of time. I'm never not open to suggestions because writing lyrics, especially when you're not feeling it or you're not in like an emotional state, is very, very difficult.
I mean, where do
I
you
would
draw inspiration from? Just your life and everything in between.
every it's really lame, but I think a lot of my lyrics come from just my places or my experiences with love and with people. And I'm just like, I'm a big, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to say I like wear my heart on my sleeve, but like and I don't want to say that I'm sensitive either in that capacity. I think I just feel things for other people really, really heavy. And then when it doesn't work out, it's like the end of the world for me. And that's where I draw a lot of my inspiration. Over the years, I've always been like, oh man, I'm too happy. I don't know if I can write a song because it could only really come from such a place of distress and sadness where I draw most of my inspiration from. But I mean, the first EP that we have is about my breakup with this woman who I was with probably for like a year or so, and you know that first heartbreak, it feels like it's the end of the world, like you're gonna die, and then you start going to therapy and you're learning stuff about yourself and you're only like 19 or 20 years old. So it was so dramatic, but it turned such a good into such a good piece of music, which is awesome. And then the second EP, I would say probably almost every single EP that I have is about some kind of experience that I had with somebody who wasn't really into me. But I would say this last one is less of that and more of like an introspective view on my world. I think in like my other lyrics, I talk a lot about, I say the word you, and I think this time around, I'm saying a lot of the word I and how I feel, which has been really refreshing because sometimes, like I said, when I'm too happy, I can't actually write a song. So it's nice to just be like, well, let me think about me for a second, how I feel about this, instead of having to guess what another person might feel or, having it come from a place of sadness, essentially.
So for this new EP then, diving in more to like the music creation, do you come into a set with the guys and you have an idea in your head of how it should sound? Obviously, do you guys play off of each other? Like, how does that music process start?
If sometimes when we get together to write songs, it feels like a hardcore corporate meeting because I'm like, okay, guys, you better come in here and you bring at least like one thing to the table. We're all gonna listen to it, jam on it, see if it's a vibe. If not, we're gonna throw it out the window. So, I believe Circles came in from our other bassist. He had written that probably a year prior, and we just didn't do anything with it. I already had lyrics for it too, so that was easy. Boom, out of the way. And then Paradise Island, I think our bassist also wrote a part of that song, and then we built off of it. And then 3 a.m. is a song that I wrote, and then Made It Mama is a song that our guitarist wrote. And then right now, because we're crazy, we're in the midst of mixing and mastering a fifth song that we're gonna put on the EP that no one's heard before. So when we release the EP, this will be the first time that everybody hears it. So we're really excited about that. But in terms of how we make music, it's usually like I said, somebody will come in with a song idea, we'll build off of it, see if it works lyrically. A lot because my band members aren't lyricists or they're not singers, it's hard for them to not, I don't want to say it's hard for them, just they don't really take into consideration how it's going to sound lyrically. So there's a lot of stretching and melding certain components to be like, okay, well, that's not going to work lyrically. Let's try something else. So it's a lot of back and forth, and we're pretty keen on making sure that our sound is consistent throughout the whole entire EP or throughout the whole entire just the post-Saga sound, I guess. And so oftentimes I will bring a song to the table and it does not sound like post-Saga. It sounds like a Phoebe Bridgers song or like a Lizzie McAlpine song. They're like, we can't work with this. So I think just making sure we're consistent with our sound, making sure everybody likes it, and for me it's really important that it's catchy enough for the audience in a commercialized way. Unfortunately, you have to do that, especially here in Cleveland too, because it's really, if you sound like everybody else, it's really hard to stand out.
I want to touch on too, like the music vibe in Cleveland. And from your perspective of being in that world for a while, how would you describe the music, like the music scene there?
The music scene here, I think, is very small, but there are a lot of musicians. And so it's hard to kind of share the wealth of presence around Cleveland. I do production for this other music podcast called Locally Grown. And the people that we bring in there, I've never seen before, never seen on stage, but they're some of the most talented people. So I think it's giving room for exposure here is a little bit difficult when you're a new musician and having those resources for new musicians. But I think overall, Cleveland, it tries to be as supportive of people and other musicians in general. I think a big problem that we have here is there's a really, I don't even want to say it's a problem, but there's a huge pop punk scene here. And so when you aren't that, people aren't really inclined to see your stuff. So it's hard to have people pay attention to music that maybe, the mass population won't listen to. And I just think Cleveland needs a we have really good musical infrastructure here, but I think it could be better. I describe the music scene here as like Cleveland has a small cookie, but everybody wants a bite. And so we need to expand that cookie so everybody has a chance to be heard, to be seen, to be listened to. But I think if I were to place myself in like LA or New York, it'd be really, really difficult because the competition is fierce. So I think Cleveland's a really good place to grow your music, to expand, to experiment, to kind of cut your teeth and then take your music elsewhere and be like, okay, I'm a seasoned veteran now. So it's a great place to start for sure.
I want to touch back to, like you said a little bit before, about when you're creating music, this whole idea of, making music for the sake of making art and music and beautiful music, but also making it more commercial and like catchy and that the masses can enjoy. How do you reconcile those two ideas of, I want to make really good art versus like, well, we have to like have people enjoy it and like sell
Sure.
it?
I think that question, how people answer that, really depends on their intention with music. I know a lot of people who just love the art form and they love to do it and they don't care if it's commercialized or it's sellable. But for me, just for who I am, I'm not going to do something unless I get something out of it. So it's like that Paul McCartney, John Lennon kind of like back and forth battle. But for me personally, I want it to be digestible. And Post Saga has done the thing of like, well, we're just gonna make it for the music. And then you see the numbers on that, or you see the audience like review when you're out in public and they're only singing along to one song because that song's a lot catchier than the rest. And so it's just like, why wouldn't you want to make or why wouldn't you want to make a hook for all your songs so people can sing along to it? So it's not that I'm necessarily reconciling that. I think it's just when we make music, it needs to be something that's sitting in the back of our mind of how sellable is this? How likable is this? What is our audience going to think of? And I'm in that role here in this band where, I'm the lyricist. I also, write some of the songs, but I'm doing the booking, I'm doing the selling of our music, I'm doing all the marketing of it. So I'm thinking at it from that end, and then the rest of the band singing at it from a musical perspective. So it's this interesting, I don't want to say battle, but it's this interesting conversation that we constantly have with one another to say what's more important, and like how can we meet in the middle of these two things. And I think I would say this past year we've grown a lot in terms of listening to each other and communicating with each other about how we're going to be able to find this medium area and going with it, me trusting them trusting me. And that's just something that takes time when you work with people, is being able to entrust each other with something that's so special to them and like very fragile for them. Not, I don't know if fragile is the right word, but something that's just like precious. And so having, being conscientious of those two things and the intent with those two things, that's just something that you have to learn over time.
Can we give a shout out to the guys in the band and their names?
Oh, shout out to Luke Mason, the guitarist. Shout out to Matt Moonsberg on the keys, Alex Carlson on the drums, Nick Yanosko on the bass. And then we have floating horn people. So to whoever that is that day, love you guys.
You are the one female with all these guys, and it's just, how does that feel to be like?
Just be the I talk about this sometimes where it's like I don't often see a lot of female-led bands here in Cleveland, or there are a few, but they're not well known because it's been over-dominated by male-led musicians. So it's kind of cool. There's a good niche about it that I'm able to kind of like sell here, but also I really enjoy kind of having that power, I guess. I don't know if power is the right word necessarily, but I'm sure it's some sort of complex, and the guys are definitely aware of that. But I really enjoy it because at the end of the day, I'm working with really, really talented people and people who respect me and want to keep making music with me, and that means the world to me for sure. I couldn't imagine, continuing on with a project from a musician point of view for 7 years and still loving it and not getting tired of it. I think that's awesome.
What's it like performing live? Because I feel like your music would sound amazing live with all those instruments.
When are you coming back to Ohio?
I know, I need to go.
I would say every time that I get off stage, people are like, wow, you have such great energy, like you have such good stage presence. It's hard to describe a live show to somebody who hasn't seen it before, because it's like, okay, yeah, I'm sure you're like I'm sure you're like Freddie Mercury up there, whatever, like the way I'm describing it. But there's a lot of dancing. I don't often use the mic stand. There's a lot of going into the crowd, clapping, callbacks. So you'll have to come to a show. We also have some live performances online already if you type in Post Saga, so you can definitely check those out. But be prepared to dance, because if I don't see you dancing in the crowd, I'm gonna call you out on the microphone. So if you don't want to be embarrassed, you better come there and move.
I love the immersiveness of it. And I feel like interacting too with your audience is always great. It just hypes everyone up. So the more energy you have, it's just going to be 100% just amazing.
Yeah, and I've been to a lot of concerts, like big shows, like national live nation, like touring people, and you see just people bobbing their head in the audience. I'm like, are you even having any fun? It looks like you hate this song. Like, what the hell? Get moving. I hate that more than anything. If somebody comes to my show and they're just like bobbing their head, I'm like, you can just go home. Like, that's fine. If you're not here to have fun, get out. I hate bad vibes. That's my big thing.
What are some of your favorite venues you've performed at?
I mean, Post Saga's performed almost at every single venue here in Cleveland, except for the Agora and the main stage at the House of Blues, but we've done pretty much everything else. God, I don't know. I would probably the venue that we probably play the most often is May Halls, and May Halls was one of our first quote unquote big stages that we got to play on. So that was really fun. And the place is like an old bowling alley, so they had that component. There's a bar, there's kind of like a speakeasy downstairs in the basement. So I would probably say that, and they have really good food there. So that's probably one of our favorite venues to play out here in Cleveland.
That's so cool. So for Circles, you have an upcoming show, like your EP release party. Can you share more about what that's gonna entail?
Sure. So what I wanted to do something different this time. Every time that I plan an EP release, it's usually with a venue that I'm pretty familiar with. But since it's the summertime, I really wanted it to be outside. But we don't have a lot of outside venues here that are like any at all. This is like Jacob's Pavilion, which that would never happen. So I was looking around. I really wanted to do like a rooftop place. And so there's this place called Studio West here in Lakewood. And they're fairly new. I'd probably say they're like a year and a half, 2 years old. And so usually that rooftop has to be rented out for a private event or whatever. So I contacted them. I was like, hey, this is kind of what I'm trying to do. They're like, oh, yeah, we've been wanting to get live music in here for a while. So we're going to be playing on their rooftop deck for our EP release, which we're really excited about. It's gorgeous. I'll send you the link.
Yes.
It's Trellis Rooftop in Lakewood. And then we have the Lauber Brothers opening up, along with Marcus Smith opening up for us on that Saturday, I think. Yeah, Saturday, July 27th.
Oh my God, that's so exciting.
I know,
How cool.
I'm so excited to be outside playing music and not inside a dark, dingy venue.
And a
No offense.
rooftop too. It's like all about the summer vibes, man.
Literally, literally.
So then after the EP, do you have anything else in store?
I will be unveiling our 2024 tour dates early August. So we'll be touring regionally, Midwest and East Coast between August to end of October. Yeah, very
Exciting.
excited. So this is the first time we're actually really hitting the road. There was one off show that we did in New York a couple years ago, just for fun, just a little field trip, team bonding exercise, whatever. And I've ever since I've really wanted to get back on the road. So this is we're doing it legit this time after 7 years, just to see how it goes. Yeah, but I'm really excited, and I hope if you are in any of these areas, please come out and hang out with us,
Yes.
please.
I know. Yeah, no, I need to go. I'll be there. I know every time I interview someone, they're like, "You should come." Like, I want to go.
You want to go? Trust me, I'm
Yes.
busy.
Before we do rapid fire, I want to get all the info down. So you can follow Post Saga on Instagram at Post Saga, and then keep updated on their shows on their website at www.postsaga.com. And then where can you listen to your music?
Spotify, Apple, Google. I mean, everywhere.
Everywhere.
You could type our name in whatever platform that you use. I love Spotify, obviously, because more access. We don't get paid that much. I mean, we don't get paid at all. Who cares? Please just listen to our music. That would mean the world to me, seriously.
Yeah, definitely, especially this new EP coming out on the 27th because it's great. It's such a it is a good summer vibe. I keep saying that, but like
I
give me
know,
my
dude.
refreshing
Yes.
alcoholic cocktail on a rooftop and I jam out for sure.
1000%.
All right, it's time for rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
I can't believe that wasn't rapid fire just now, but
I
okay.
If you could open for any artist, who would you choose?
Sammy Ray and friends. I have been bugging their management for so long. I'm pretty sure they're tired of me, but that I'm manifesting that shit. Sammy Ray and friends, come on. Come on, girl. Let me in.
We'll send this to
Yeah, they're like this crazy woman.
them. What is your dream venue to perform at?
What's that one place in New York? I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
I'm putting in the Garden, New York. Madison Square Garden, that's what it is. Madison Square Garden Gardens is my ultimate venue that I want to play at.
I love it.
Yeah.
Favorite song lyric?
A mine or in general?
Either.
Either.
Both.
Sure. Oh God, girl, you're crazy. Probably one of mine off of 3 a.m. is oh, how's it go? Da-da. My favorite form of like affection is suffering from somebody else. That's essentially what the lyric means. And every time that people like hear it or see it, they're like, damn, like that is so real. And then, God, lyrically from another artist, it's hard to pick a lyric, but I really like I'll Be Seeing You by Billie Holiday. That's probably my favorite song of all time. So any lyrics from that one, I really, really love.
Go to karaoke song.
Go-to karaoke song is Somebody to Love by Queen.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh my God. That is a question. Maybe that's a question that I've always wanted somebody to ask me. I love
You have that ready
karaoke.
too.
Oh my God, dude. That is my shit. Don't even get at me.
Guilty pleasure artist.
Guilty pleasure artist. Like somebody corny to listen to. Hold on, let me open my phone. I know there's definitely one that I've been listening to that I'm just like, I can't believe I keep listening to this fucking song. Get It Together by No Doubt and Fly Like a, and I'm Like a Bird by Nelly Furtado. Those are my guilty pleasure songs right now. Isn't that fucking funny, dude? And what's really funny is what has sparked this interest is because my brother was like, can I show you a song on your phone? I said, yeah, get at it. And he put that on. I'm like, damn, he's got some good taste. So that's just been nonstop essentially for me listening. Yeah.
And then, with all the band is not busy doing creating music and playing, what do you guys like to do for yourselves?
I know what I like to do. I like to come home and be antisocial and watch Bridgerton, which is what I've been getting into recently, unfortunately. And I'm very typical. I like to go to the beach and hang out with my friends. I don't know what the guys do in their free time. You know what I mean? Like we're really good at not talking to each other until we had to talk about music just to give ourselves some space, which is healthy, everybody. Space is healthy. But yeah, we all pretty much have like our different hobbies outside of music, which is great.
That's awesome. Well,
Yeah.
this has been so fun. I love
Good.
about this journey, and I'm excited for the new EP release. I'm ready.
Let's go.
So again, make sure to follow Post Saga on Instagram and check out their website and their music. It's gonna be great.
Or else.
Yes. Dun
Or
dun.
else. Dun, dun, dun. You better watch your back.
Thank you so much for coming on today.
It was great meeting you. Thank you so much for having me. I hope to talk to you in the future with our other EPs.
Yes. Thank you to everyone who's been listening in, and stay tuned for another episode next month.